Welcome. Thank you again for your many gifts and offerings of, I don't know what all arrived today, flowers and, you know, all the nice things, plants and water and chocolate and bickies and
Air?
Oh, very nice. Can't live without that. Mercury moved, it was yesterday, I think, Mercury moved out of Pisces. Mercury was in Pisces. Mercury is debilitated in Pisces, very weak. So he moved into Aries, and he will be much stronger in Aries. So Aries is ruled by Mars. It's a kind of a Mercury-Mars influence. A good time for communication, a good time to speak up and be heard, especially if you're afraid of speaking up or speaking out to somebody on some issue.
I did it this morning.
I exploded today.
To see. Very good. Now, it's also a gray day today. Moon happens to be with Saturn and K2 in the sky, which is, you could have well exploded today. And that wouldn't be surprising. Dougie exploded today. We have four hens in the back. We have four hens. Well, we have three and a half now.
She's still alive, she's fine, she's still walking around.
Oh my god!
He decided he wanted a feather pillow. And I could hear all this ruckus, and I was just at this side of the house. And when I went around, she was on the ground with her legs in the air, and he was just pulling the feathers out.
Oh,
he's
talking about
it.
Clindy somehow thinks that she's going to change the dog's fundamental nature. So he'll socialize with the hens. You see, I don't actually believe that, but I can be made to be proved wrong. Anyway, it is a good time to speak up and say your piece.
How long is that for?
It's about 3 weeks, three or four. I should have the date in front of me when it goes direct, but I mean when it goes into Taurus, but I don't. So it's generally around 3 weeks.
So it's kind of volatile as well, is it?
Today is a volatile day today because of Moon with Saturn in K2. Mercury in Aries is not so much volatile, but it is bold and brash, and people are more likely to say things that they wouldn't normally say. Pardon me, or they'd be too shy or intimidated, or you know. So it's good. Mercury in the sign of Aries is absolutely excellent for debate. People want to debate and be influential through speech. It's a very, very good position if you're born with that. All right, so today we're going to talk about we spent the last our last evening together talking about Ram and the avatar of Vishnu. And we touched on Hanuman, and there's Hanuman there, the monkey god, as he's affectionately referred to, who was a servant and devotee of Ram's, and a very powerful being, and a very enlightened soul, not to be thought of as a dumb monkey, but a demigod in monkey form, who's literally the son of Vayu, the wind god, and the mother is Anjana, who would be the monkey-like form. But not monkeys like we think. These are more enlightened beings. And they came from the Treta Yuga, Silver Age. So we're going to provide a Hanuman mantra because Hanuman's appearance day is on Sunday. Hanuman was born exactly a week after Ram in real time. In real time. The exact same year. Same time. So if you recall, we talked about Ram's chart and said that Ram, who's an incarnation of Vishnu or God, had five exalted planets and three in their own sign. So a week later, the moon moves in every 2.25 days from one sign to the next. That's why the moon is the most radical planet, because it moves sooner. It goes through the zodiac in 28 days, as you might remember. So the moon was in Cancer when Ram was born, Cancer. Moved out of Cancer into Leo, out of Leo into Virgo, out of Virgo into Libra. And that's when Hanuman was born, 7 days later. And Libra, in Libra at the time, was the exalted Saturn. So Moon and Saturn are together in history. So he's got five exalted planets and two in their own sign, not three. So Moon is no longer in its own sign. Moon is in Libra when he was born. So there's Hanuman. So we're going to do a Hanuman Gayatri mantra. All of these different deities and devas and demigods and goddesses all have their own Gayatri mantra also. So we're going to chant the Hanuman Gayatri. Again, we'll remind you, Catherine has got yet another great picture here of her exhibition of her work at the Expose Yourself Gallery, Friday, 25th April, 7:30 p.m. in Dunleary. So these are available. And we'll see you there for that. Tonight, Clindy and I were talking, and we thought we'd talk a little bit about gemstones and astrology connected to that specifically, and also a little bit about charity. Every now and then I talk about charity and giving of charity and Aishila. And, you know, how to do that, or exactly how that's related to the planets, and how one should go about it. The planets, Jivanam Karma Falado, Graha Rupi Janardana, is the Sanskrit verse that says that God, in the form of the planets, takes the form of the planets in order to dispense the karma to the living beings. That's literally what that means. So that's how karma is doled out in the universe, through the influence of the planets. They are the efficient cause, not the ultimate cause. The ultimate cause of the karma is you and your behavior. But then you have to have a mechanism by which this is doled out to you. That's why astrology is as amazing as it is. And it truly is amazing the way it works. I mean, I've been studying, practicing, using astrology for 30 years now. I started in spring of 1977. That's when I began. I began studying it in Sanskrit, Vedic astrology. And even to this day, it never ceases to blow my mind how it works, how amazing it is. It is absolutely the best method of divination that there is. It's the universal clock. It's the ability to tell time using the universal clock. And if you can see how to do that and learn how to do that, it works very effectively. Sometimes you will meet people who are good psychics, or they're tuned in, they're mediums, or they're tuned in on in various ways. And some of them can be very effective and insightful, helpful. But usually their timing is virtually useless. Even the best ones, I've seen that their timing is way off. You know, they'll say five. It'll happen to you in 5 days, 5 months, 5 years. Well, that's helpful. So if it doesn't happen to me in 5 days, then I can wait another 5 months, or then I could wait another 5 years if that doesn't work. Very difficult to nail down the timing. Vedic astrology is usually pretty good with that, if you have an accurate birth time. It is up to the person who is doing the interpreting. You know, because interpretation is not just knowing the rules of astrology, which it is, but it's also being able to tune in on other levels. And depending on to what degree you can do that, then that your results will follow naturally. But the science of astrology is a science. It works as a science. In all the ancient cultures, well, all, the Assyrians, Babylonians, Egyptians, Greeks, Chinese, Persians, of course, India, Indians, and the few that I'm forgetting, Mayan, all used astrology. All used astrology. The kings would never make a decision without consulting the astrologers, plural. You'd have more than one. And then they would make decisions based on the advice they were given. It is only recently, relatively recently, in our modern day, that the characters who run our educational system and our governments like to say that astrology is for airy-fairy, non-serious people who actually believe in this nonsense without having exposed themselves to it or studied it or taken the time to really understand it. How can you say something's nonsense if you haven't genuinely studied it? So subsequently, it's looked upon with tongue-in-cheek by lots of people. Although we also know that many, many people use it, and people will use it behind the scenes. They'll never admit to it many times, you know. I mean, I have many clients that are executives in huge companies, Fortune 500 companies, whose decisions... some of them are in charge of hundreds or thousands of employees, and their decisions are in the millions and millions of dollars, and they use astrology. They know of its value. But if you ask the guy or the girl, the woman, if they use it, they would go, "Oh, no, I don't use that," because they wouldn't take them seriously then if they said they did. Anyway, it works. A science is a science if you take certain principles, you apply the principle over and over and over and over and over again. And that's called the experimentation. And if the principle, I don't know what it is in science, I think if it works 80% of the time or more, it would be considered to be scientific in nature. And that is definitely the case with astrology. I mean, I've used thousands of cases. It usually works. Okay, having said all that, when the planets are affecting us in a negative manner, we can overcome that. Or at least I should explain first karma like this. Karma is when you perform an act you plant a seed. And that seed is just like a plant. Kalindi's been in the garden planting all kinds of things lately. And the seed will sprout. Then it will put up a shoot, a stem. It'll poke out of the ground. It'll expand. A leaf will come. Two leaves, three leaves. The stalk will grow. The leaf will turn to a flower in some cases. And then the fruit. Fruit or the veg, but the fruit. That is fully ripened karma. And when that fruit comes, that's when karma comes around and you will experience it directly in your life. Some karma can be gotten out of completely. You can avoid some karma completely. You can steer around it. Some karma you cannot steer around. You can reduce its effect, reduce the negative effect. Some karma, you could experience it for a while and then get rid of it, which again is a reduction of sorts. And some karma, very, very difficult to undo. Especially, for example, if you get a cold, you may go and take some tablets, some medicine for the cold. It may or may not work. Sometimes it's worked, or you may take some herbs. Yeah? Sometimes it works for you, sometimes it doesn't. If it does and it knocks the cold out of you quickly, you go, oh, this is great. You know, I had it for a couple of days, it's gone. Or if it doesn't work, then the cold will run its course. So you'll experience the full measure of the karma. Maybe the cold goes for a week, maybe it goes for 2 weeks. There was a strain here back in January, December, January, people were getting lung infections. I was one of them. And they wouldn't go away for the longest time, for example, wherever. Some people still carrying them. But the cold will run its course and then it goes, generally speaking. So you don't really worry about it. It's an inconvenience. Cancer, a little different. Some cancers, you catch them while they're just beginning. Stop them. Some people don't catch cancer or do not discover cancer at that point. They discover cancer once it's full blown. No symptoms. Feel fine. Go for a checkup. Oh, you've got pancreatic cancer, or you've got lymphatic cancer, or you've got skin cancer. And certain cancers, if they're too well developed, too far developed, good luck. Right? Almost impossible to reverse them. That kind of karma is what I would call, I use this expression, but I call that a karmic. Well, it's all karmic, ultimately, but karmic in the sense that you can't solve the problem through human manipulation, through human mechanisms. You can't go to a person to help you, or you can't help yourself. It doesn't go away. It won't work. Under the category of no cure. In disease, it's no cure. That's a real, truly karmic disease in that you have to go beyond the typical means that you would use to cure the disease. You have to go to the causal level, much, much higher, to to remove the cause of, you know, pull the thing out by the root, to go back to the plant. And that's where mantra comes in. Fasting, prayer, vratas or vows, giving in charity as a vow. That's the only hope one has. I mean, in other words, you need divine intervention in circumstances like that. You know, I hope, my wish is that none of you would have this, such a thing in your lifetime. Normally, according to the Vedas, you get X number of breaths. Is how it works. So, when you've exhausted that number of breaths, you're done. That's why yogis practicing yoga practice pranayama, breath control. Because prana is breathing. When you breathe in oxygen, but more importantly than oxygen, you breathe in the prana. Prana is chi. Same thing, different language. So you breathe in prana. And that's really where the life force comes from. Prana is pure life force. So when you drill the breath through breathing exercises, you can get to the point where you can balance the incoming and the outgoing breath, and then you hold. You breathe in, you hold. So they train themselves to hold longer, 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 longer. And then in yoga practice, they create the locks, the bandhas. They lock the sphincter muscle, pull that in, and hold it. You got to pull it in and hold it. See how long you can do that. And they lock the throat. So the air can't escape. So you have to do the locks as well. And you sit, of course, in meditation, and you don't breathe. And in this way, you can extend your lifespan. That takes some practice. But the yogis do it. The yogis live a few hundred years. It's possible.
100 years.
Yeah. They can do it. An accomplished yogi can live for a few hundred years. Well over 100 is easy. And depending where he's at, how, what level he's on. You know, if you can, you're not going to meet the guy. Because he won't be hanging around Dublin or any other town.
John Karina's guru. No.
Babaji?
They were with him for like 25 or 30 years, I think it was, and the guy looked like he was 30.
Yeah, Haryakan Baba, he never aged.
Yeah, and he was supposedly at that stage 130.
There's no life doing, holding his muscles in like this.
What?
You know, it's not very kind of productive, is it, other than sustaining your body. It's very self-obsessed, really, isn't it?
Well,
what purpose has it got?
The purpose is to liberate yourself from repeated birth and death, my dear. I mean, if you want life and you want to enjoy yourself, then please, it's available. The purpose is to, and that's not the only way to do it.
Yeah.
You know.
Somebody clarified, so you're saying that each human has a
breath
in order to fulfill their life path and go through their karma.
Well, that's their duration of life.
And if they leave before that, it's a recycle, they're back again. Is that it? If they don't go through the complete cycle of breaths.
Oh, I never said that.
I just wanted to hear that I was getting it right. That's all. Sorry. No, they will, even if they do die early, it's because they've gone through all their breaths. Oh, that's a myth.
Yeah,
something
so
to cut it off,
so you see, if you understand that and believe it, then you'll see how foolish jogging is. Yogis don't jog.
They do yoga.
They do yoga. They don't do, you don't see people in Indian jogging.
Because you're wasting your breath.
You're wasting your breath. And even talking too much is, again, don't waste your breath. Yeah, you know that expression?
Yeah.
Don't waste your breath. Well, now it takes on a new meaning. Yeah.
And yet women, you know, therefore would have longer lifespans and they were supposed to talk more.
Well, you have the life. I know. Yeah, but I think that has to do with men being under more stress in the sense of men being out in the world. But, you know. Anyway, you could talk around that one for a while.
They're hyperventilating with all the pressure they get from the women.
From the women talking too much.
Talking at them, yeah. Okay, so where was I? So some karmas can be circumvented and some can't. But if you are subject to a very, very serious illness, that can be circumvented through mantra, prayer, devotion, appealing to God, that sort of thing. One can also reduce the effects of karma. For example, if you are in a what we would term astrologically a danger period, and it's likely the chance of you getting hurt or injured is very, very strong. There's a difference between wrapping your car around a pole or banging your knee on the coffee table. I recommend banging your knee on a coffee table. Both are injuries. One provides a little bruise and the other one might be very serious. Although some people are in horrendous traffic accidents and get out of the car and walk away uninjured. That also happens. So one can reduce some of the effects. I use myself as an example. I don't know to what extent I reduce the effects, but I'll let you try and figure it out. About 2 years ago now, or almost 2 years ago, I was in a major period of Mars and a minor period of K2. Theoretically, the most dangerous period in my life. The most dangerous, or the worst possible thing could happen. Theoretically. It was only a 4 month period. Very short. And it was essentially over the summer. I fell into 3 different rivers. 3 times out of a boat. Into 3 different rivers. The Arklow River, which wasn't pleasant. And 2 different rivers in the state of Oregon where we were whitewater rafting without injury.
We were water rafting. Swimming.
Yeah, without injury. But so there was the possibility of injury, but there actually, in actual fact, there was no injury. So
you've been chanting a mantra to...
Oh, I'm always chanting. I'm always chanting. I don't mean all day long, but I mean every day I'm chanting. Yeah. So the answer to that is yes. I had been. Okay, so I brought this here in case we get to talking about your charts and what you might... Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry, can I finish the question?
Yeah.
You're saying that some karmas are really hard to shift.
Some are, yeah.
Is there any particular reason why?
Well, because for some reason or another, they can't be shifted. In other words, they can't be shifted by regular means. Like, for example, suppose you owe the revenue some money, okay? Sometimes you can go and negotiate it whereby they'll even reduce what you owe them. You can negotiate these things. You can do that with the IRS in America as well. They'll reduce what you owe. And or reduce the penalty, because they usually tack on a penalty, or dispense with the penalty, for example. Worst case scenario, they could, for example, come in and say, this is the money you owe, you didn't pay, you're in jail. They have the ability to do that. They have the authority to do that. So, you know, if you owe the revenue money and they put you in jail, which I don't think happens very often, that's very extreme. You know, so things can be reduced and sometimes they're not. You know.
Well, sometimes you have to go through the pain, and
is it fear-based? You know, is it stuff that you can't face?
That's going to be way. There's a million answers to that.
Yeah.
You see.
So many different possibilities.
There's every possibility you can imagine.
People have been spiritual all their life, and they end up dying of cancer. Mm. But you know, they look at it as, okay, this is a good chance to get rid of a chunk of karma. I'm dying from a disease, so you know, maybe I'm working through some stuff here. It could be that too. It might.
If you die a violent death, not that I'm wishing that for you, not that that's pleasant. But you've just removed a whole chunk of karma.
It's like a big slap.
You see, the thing about, and let me just take that a step further. In our modern day, we have this idea that the death penalty, or many people do, is horrendous. It's barbaric. It's cruel. We're no better than the criminals if we're going to put somebody to death for having killed somebody else. How could we stoop to such a low? That's real ignorance, according to Vedic understanding. Even though sentimentally it feels good. If you're on the sentimental platform, it all makes sense. What happens if somebody kills somebody is there is this horrendous karma that they've just generated that has to be paid. You can't get away with that. It has to be paid. Not unless through divine intervention that sin is forgiven, which is also possible. But in how many cases are you going to find that? First of all, you'd have to be sincerely remorseful, naturally. So when a killer is put to death, see, in our society, we don't believe in reincarnation. So this is only one lifetime. So if you kill somebody for killing somebody else and you only believe you get one lifetime, well, naturally, it sounds pretty cruel, doesn't it? Now that guy's finished. If you really understand that reincarnation is a reality, what you're doing, you just did this guy a big favor. You wiped out the negative karma of having killed somebody. Boom, like this, one fell swoop. Now this person will take another birth with that karma removed. Gone, finished. Not that he takes another birth having to suffer that karma because it wasn't removed. Or prison sentences also to remove the karma. But to think that, you know, killing the king's duty is to protect the citizens. And to kill somebody who's a cancer in society is not a bad idea.
Yeah, but what sort of karma must it be to be the person that has the job of killing them all? Mm-hmm. I would totally anti death penalty until you described that before. But still, it's still a nasty cycle.
Well,
there must be a whole section of people that have to be working through this.
Well, of course there is. Yeah, I mean, it's
like a thousand cultures.
You mean to be the executioner? Yeah, well, you know, you don't want to be the executioner. I'm not saying that you want to do it, but the king's job is to keep you safe.
Yes, well, the executioner has karma.
Yeah.
For himself.
Yeah.
Which?
The executioner.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he would. He would on some level.
Sorry, I think it was just
the executioner is piling up karma for himself or herself.
Oh, yeah.
So, is he?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like,
no, he's acting in accordance with the law, but you know, everything has an effect. Mm. You know.
So what about the guys who write out the parking tickets?
Them too. Well, just think how much negative energy is coming at those people. You wouldn't want to be in that job because you're the bringer of bad news.
Why is there a end of the film? No, those guys should wear diamonds on, or they should wear reflective colors on their things to reflect back the.
Yeah, no, that's not a bad idea, really. Okay, so for the sun, if you have a weak sun or an afflicted sun in your chart. A planet is weak when it is in a weak house, a house that says that it's weak.
Sorry. I just pulled the knife.
Yeah, that's not the best way to do it, no. Or if it's in a weak sign, like it's debilitated. Each planet can only be debilitated in one sign out of the 12, yeah. Or if the planet is afflicted by other planets. So if it's with Rahu, if it's with Ketu, if it's with Saturn, those, or Mars, then the planet may be, in most cases, would be afflicted, yeah. So for the sun, if the sun is weak or afflicted, gemstone wise, you wear ruby or garnet. If moon is weak or afflicted, you can wear pearl or moonstone. If Mars is weak or afflicted, you can wear coral, red coral or carnelian. If Mercury is weak or afflicted in your chart, you can wear green emerald, green tourmaline, aquamarine or peridot. If Jupiter is weak or afflicted, you can wear yellow sapphire or yellow citrine or yellow topaz. If Venus is weak or afflicted, you can wear diamond or natural zircon or white topaz. Saturn is weak or afflicted, you can wear blue sapphire or lapis lazuli. If Rahu is weak or afflicted, you can wear hasanite, cinnamon stone. And if Ketu is weak or afflicted, you can wear cat's eye.
Is that when
or tiger's eye.
Period as well, is it? If you're like.
Yeah, well, that's normally when you do it if the planetary period is in operation. Mm.
So K2 is a planet.
It's not technically a planet.
Okay.
But for our purposes in this, in the light of this, we call it a planet, because it's an energy, and we're trying to neutralize the negative effect of the energy, strengthen the positive effect of the energy. And also, any of the seven major planets would rule your ascendant, and thereby would be that we look for your birthstone. Whatever your ascendant or your rising sign is, the sign on the eastern horizon, that is determines your what your birthstone is. I find that to be more important and more accurate than picking birthstone from the sun sign. So if you are an Aries ascendant or a Scorpio ascendant, then coral, red coral, is your birthstone. That's me, Aries ascendant.
What's Capricorn?
Capricorn is Saturn. Capricorn and Aquarius are ruled by Saturn, so that's blue sapphire. Nicole, you are Sagittarius.
Ascendant, yeah.
Ruled by Jupiter. So if you have a Sagittarius or a Pisces ascendant, then it is yellow sapphire, yellow.
Is it? Citrine.
Citrine or yellow topaz.
What's Gemini?
Gemini is ruled by Mercury, so it's green emerald, all the green stones.
I don't like green stones. I'm
amazing. Neve, you're Sagittarius. You cannot figure out the rising sign just by where when you're born during the month. You have to calculate it. There's no other way around it.
And is a rising sign like
the sign on the eastern horizon? Yours is Taurus. Ruled by Venus. Diamond. Yeah, and she's got Mars in Taurus. Mars in the sense, so.
Yeah.
Are you a Leo ascendant? It's not as simple as they reduce it to in the horoscope page of the newspaper, okay? It ain't that simple. It's far more complicated than that. A Virgo ascendant, Sheila.
Mm-hmm.
Ruled by Mercury.
Is it Sun in Leo?
Our Sun is in Cancer. You have no planets in Leo. Cancer Sun. Okay. Now.
That name for me? Citrine.
Yellow sapphire, citrine, or yellow topaz. Okay, did we cover everybody, Marion?
Yes, yes,
sir. Okay. Now, whatever major period you're in, I'm doing it sort of general here, but whatever major period you're in, you could wear a gem for that. Technically, we're supposed to, you know, you have to look at it and see everything as a whole, but the chart is all. What you find to be very effective are the minor periods. Minor periods are probably the most effective and the most dynamic. And the minor periods last anywhere from generally 6 months to a year to 2.5 years to 3 years, depending what planet it is.
Is that the
second one?
The second one, not the third one.
The second one.
So,
not the first one, which is the big long one. The major period, so like Venus is 20 years.
Yes.
Saturn is 19 years. The Moon is 10 years. Sun is short, 6 years.
The
second one down, because those have a tremendous impact. And those would be the ones that, if you go by planetary periods, that you'd want to pacify.
And the third is...
The third, you wouldn't wear stones for the third one. I mean, if you had the whole array of stones, then yeah, okay, put it on. If you got it, wear it at the right time. Why not? But I wouldn't tell people to go get a stone for a period that's going to last for 2 months. You know, that's not practical.
Yeah.
because a lot of people are not even going to get the stones to begin with, you know.
Mars was which stone again? Sorry. Coral.
Red coral or carnelian.
Carnelian is a great stone.
Yeah. In the Taj Mahal, where I've been twice, Kalindi was there once with me. In the white marble, it's inlaid. What's the three things? Lapis, a green one. What is the green? A green stone, like a malachite. That's not malachite, though. I think it's pretty green one. And carnelian. And in the moonlight, the carnelian glows. So the little anecdote there. Okay, now.
What's the stone for Saturn?
Blue sapphire.
So can I just ask you then, is it ideal to wear a stone for your ascendant?
Yeah.
And then a stone for the major period you're in?
Correct.
The major, the first one, the sun though, or the second major? The major is the sun.
Major is, I always wear the stone for the major period.
Major.
But it depends. You see, supposing your major period is a very favorable period, a very favorable planet, okay? You don't have to wear a stone for that. But if you wear the stone, it'll strengthen it for you. So if you have the stone, wear it. It's just a positive on a positive.
Okay.
However, if the minor period that you're currently in is a negative or problematic or difficult period, or the planet's afflicted, that's the one you want to wear. If the major period planet is afflicted, that's the one you want to wear. The one you want to, what you want to do is to pacify the negative influence of the planet. You want to neutralize the negative effect. That's the whole idea. In Vedic astrology, that's what we're talking about here. There are several ways to neutralize the negative effects of the planets, negative karma. In Western astrology, they know nothing about this. Nothing whatsoever.
What would be really negative?
What?
What planet cycle would be really negative? Like Ketu and Rahu, obviously. Is that it?
Well, it's not that simple. It depends. I explained already. If a planet is weak or afflicted. So you have,
like, for instance, I'm in a major sun.
Yeah.
So I put on a ruby, you know, to strengthen it. But I realized that I was getting too assertive and too aggressive.
Huh.
So I take it back off.
So that's generally a good one, though, the sun, isn't it?
It depends.
Yeah, it all depends on where it is in each park.
It's generally considered to be a malefic or malevolent planet.
Would Ketu bring, or any of the other sign, Rahu, bring strengths? Is it all negative?
Oh, yeah, no, they're not all negative. No, of course it brings strengths. Okay, here you go. If you wear ruby or garnet for the sun, ruby or garnet will strengthen one's sense of self, self-confidence, self-esteem, self-worth, and self-assurance. It improves the decision-making process, leading to a clear career choice, especially around career and profession and life purpose. It brings career opportunity. It strengthens possibilities of promotion and helps in establishing personal and professional independence. It increases ambition and the need to succeed. It enhances courage, daring, and initiative. It improves one's relationship with one's father and various authority figures. It increases health and strengthens one's physical constitution. It encourages self-expression, individuality, and personal growth. It increases pride in work and achievement and invites recognition. It augments one's motivation and action. It enhances the possibility of promotion or the determination to start your own business. It helps you become the master of your destiny. It inspires leadership and self-determination. It increases your recognition as an authority in your field or discipline. It aids in the development of one's goals, objectives, and an overall plan. It goes on, but...
One question on if you're in good space and things are good and everything's good, but you can only really allow, that's only if you're allowing all that good stuff in. Because you could block it, couldn't you?
Yeah. Well, that's why free will is always the key factor, right? You can overcome a lot of the difficulty with a positive attitude. You know, it's you can't necessarily, well, let's say this carefully. You can't always change what's going to happen to you, but you can always change how you deal with it. You always have a choice in how it will or won't affect you. That's what the free will is. I have no control over the fact that it is now sundown. You know, and it's going to be dark for a long time, all night. And supposing I want it to be light out, well, good luck. So I either can accept that and get on with it, or I can storm up and down the road and curse and say, why isn't it? Where's the sun? I'm being silly, but, you know. So that's how you have a choice. There's no point in, a lot of times people will get some dinky little gemstone. Or some, what do you call it? When it's not polished and cut.
Tumbled stone?
Yeah, like a tumbled stone, you know. A real low quality stone. You can't see through it, or you know what I mean. Not pearl, obviously, but like you can get real cheap, crappy emeralds. That's not what you want. The gemstone has to be good quality, and it has to have the right kind of vibration. It has to have a high vibration, not a low vibration. A cheap stone will have the opposite effect, a negative effect. So what you're saying makes complete sense.
It doesn't necessarily have to be really large, because I hate really big stones.
It doesn't have to be big. No, it doesn't have to be.
Small and good is better than large and...
Large and crappy. Mm.
So if I got a pearl with a diamond, if Taurus is my ascendant, does that tie it all up together?
A pearl and a diamond together?
Yeah.
But ideally, those two shouldn't be set together.
Oh, okay.
But then you're getting over the top. Like a lot of stones should be set together, but they're still set together.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be ideal that you'd have them set separately,
yeah.
And then you can wear them together or separately.
Okay.
Depending what you need when you need it.
Yeah. Okay.
See, having two stones set together is not really the best, unless you get a whole, unless you want it for jewelry purposes. And you've got a bunch of stones, and it doesn't matter. And you still got a single one of each. And then you got some combinations. Okay. But ideally, they shouldn't be set together. Because then you can't use them for specific purposes. Because the other one's interfering with it. Right?
I just wanted to say that pearls. You look spot and see fresh water pearl. Like what's the difference in different pearls?
Just where they grow. Fresh water will work fine.
They work.
They do work.
You know, freshwater pearls work fine. You know, in a perfect world, you'd get a saltwater pearl.
Yeah, that's pearl all the way through. That'll help you.
What you call it, pearls, what do they call them?
Fancy?
No. Cultured. Cultured pearls also work. A cultured pearl means they stick the seed or the little bead or whatever they say inside the oyster. And then the oyster goes, ooh, starts making a pearl out of it. It's still a pearl.
They make the beads out of shell.
So all shells that were discarded, they make little tiny BB baubles out of it. So technically, it's all the same material all the way through.
What? Cindy, does it matter what, you know, I've seen on some websites you can get pink pearls, black pearls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've seen on her website. Yeah?
Yeah, they're real. Depends on the mullet.
Yeah.
And Clindy has those.
Is it better, like, one better than the other?
No, that's not how you choose.
No.
You choose by your kind of work, your nature, and your work. That's how you choose.
So for
your work as a, you're essentially a healer. So you would wear a white pearl.
When would you wear a black pearl?
If you were a laborer, then you would wear a black pearl.
And pink?
Pink.
That would be more like a Marsy sort of energy.
Yeah, that'd be more like if you're a warrior. Or if you work for the government in a high office.
Same thing.
Warrior.
Was O. And then yellow pearls, they'd be golden pearls, they'd be more
business.
Business, yeah.
Well, yellow, they come in yellow as well, okay.
Golden, yeah. Good for money. Yep. Now, I just wanted to... Oh, the time goes, doesn't it? I wanted to... Because I...
Like, did you have the same thing with the pearls that came out of it?
Really?
No. Pearl brings tears. That's what they say. Pearl brings tears because its job is to bring the sorrow up to the surface and to clear it and release it. That's exactly what it does and what it's for. And there's only so much sorrow that you have in there. So the sooner you release it, the better. As long as you're not overwhelmed by the level of release, you know. So sometimes you put on a pearl and it creates too much sadness. It stirs up too much, so you got to take the pearl off for a while. Because you do have to function. And you can only handle so much of that. You know. Okay, so I'm going to read about charity. Giving in charity. Here's another way to accomplish the pacification of the planets without wearing the gemstone, or in addition to wearing the gemstone, or in addition to chanting the mantra. The most powerful thing you can do is chant the mantras. Most powerful. If you need to strengthen the sun, you give charity to pacify an afflicted sun in your birth chart. Donate one or more of the following. Any red article. Ruby, garnet, gold, copper, wheat, red clothing, red flowers, red fruits or red vegetables. Okay. When do you do it? On a Sunday, or when you are in a major or minor astrological period of the sun, according to your chart. The recipient, who do you give it to? You give it to a middle-aged man from one of the following fields: an employee of a government agency, a political leader, a king, a business executive, a banking executive, a military officer, or a police inspector.
I'm going to talk to the police station tomorrow.
Yeah, well, just don't be like her sister. She goes there to find one to marry.
Yeah.
And then marries him.
What? Who?
My sister.
Coming home from Saturday night partying, she'd stop off at the police station to check out the... possibilities.
I got up one morning to go to work. It was a Saturday morning, and she'd been out on the Friday night, and there were Polaroids of her on the kitchen counter, in jail, in handcuffs.
Oh no!
She was arrested, and she was obviously messing around with them. This is her idea of a kinky knife.
Now put me in jail and put the handcuffs on me.
So, are you into uniforms too?
No, I'm terrified of them.
Well, they come by it honestly. The father was a policeman, huh?
No, I'm petrified of policemen.
Okay, on a more serious note. Moon. Okay, this is how you pacify the moon with charity. Donate one or more of the following items. Any white article. Pearl, moonstone, silver, water. Jug of water. Cow's milk, yogurt, cream, clarified butter, which is ghee. A white cow. White rice. Conch shell. White silk. White clothing, white flowers, fruits, or vegetables. When? On a Monday. Recipient, a woman with children. A woman who's had children. A matriarchal figure, a queen, or a female leader. Mars. For Mars, donate one or more of the following. Any red article, red coral, copper, red lentils, red clothing, red flowers, fruits, or vegetables. On a Tuesday, when you are in a major or minor period of Mars, recipient, a young man from one of the following fields, a soldier, a police officer, or an athlete. Mercury. Donate one or more of the following. Any green article, green emerald, aquamarine, peridot, brass, green lentils, green clothing, green plants, fruits, or vegetables. On a Wednesday, to whom? A young male, female, or homosexual student. Mercury rules on homosexuality.
Which fingers are on the head?
Little one. Jupiter, donate one or more of the following. Yellow articles, yellow sapphire, yellow topaz, yellow citrine, gold, yellow lentils, saffron, turmeric, sugar, yellow clothing, yellow flowers, fruits, or vegetables. On a Thursday. Recipient, a male Brahmin, priest. Yogi, monk, wise man, priest, minister, rabbi, or mullah. Head on down to the mosque. Venus, donate one or more of the following. Any white article, diamond, natural zirconium, silver, white lentils, white silk, white clothing, cream, yogurt, white cow, scented oils or fragrances. Incense, camphor, white flowers, fruits, or vegetables. On what day? Friday. To whom? A young unmarried woman, preferably a virgin.
Exactly. But if
you're not a virgin? No, no, not since last week. No. No, no, a young woman. A woman. Nice try, though. Saturn, donate one or more of the following. Any black article, blue sapphire, lapis lazuli, amethyst, iron, steel, black cow, black mustard seed, black sesame seeds, black pepper, purple flowers, fruits, or vegetables. Aubergine. Also, figs, dates, raisins. When Saturday, to whom? An old or destitute person. For Saturn. Rahu. Donate one or more of the following. Any black article, hessenite, coconut, coal. lump of coal.
Oh, yeah.
What's this? It's a lump of coal. Old coins or foreign coins. When on a Saturday, to whom? A diseased or homeless person?